Dear friends in Jesus Christ, before I get into the sermon today, I want you to understand the direction I'm going in. We live in a world today where the Bible is being compromised more and more. So there are all these outside forces, and these outside forces are causing people to change their view of the Bible. That is such a huge problem. How is it supposed to work? God wants us to understand that the Bible is the very Word of God. God wants us to always fully embrace the Bible, and the Bible should help us understand what's going on with everything in the world and anything in the world that is conflicting with the Bible. We're not going to take that in. We're not going to embrace that. We're not going to accept that as true. But I want you to know, though, that almost all Christian church bodies in the world have taken what the world says and they have embraced that, and it has destroyed their view of the Bible. We're not in that situation here at Bethlehem, and may God always keep us firmly on the Word of God. We're going to focus on creation today. I hope you can see what I'm talking about. When I get into things at the end where we're talking about some different Christian denominations, understand we're talking about the official beliefs of denominations. We're not talking about what individual Christians believe. But think about it, though. If you're in a denomination where over and over again you're hearing what does not square with the Bible, aren't you probably going to eventually embrace that to be true? So it's a very dangerous world in which we live. Let's get into this topic here. It is God's truth that sets us free. We know that very clearly from the Bible. However, though, there are many people that are embracing the lies of the world to be true. Let me give you a couple examples here. First of all, many are embracing this topic that the universe is 13.8 billion years old. Now, understand when I say that, there are some huge names in Christianity who are embracing that. So when people like that are embracing that topic, people are thinking, hey, that guy is so intelligent. That guy must know what he's talking about. I should embrace that too. We have that going on all over the world today. And what is another huge problem? So many are embracing this idea to heaven. So the way I get there, it's a combination of what I believe plus what I do. I want you to know that from Scripture, those are huge, huge lies. And let's understand that the vast majority of Christian denominations in the world are embracing both of those things. What will happen in the end? If people who are sitting under that teaching, if they believe these things to be true, they are not going to end up with God. So that is why it is a huge deal. It is a very serious matter. So what is the problem? Well, people who believe in these things are saying that the Bible is not reliable. Remember, it is the Bible that tells us the truth and sets us free. So now they're approaching the Bible thinking, well, I know the beginning of the Bible isn't true, and I know anything that says about creation isn't true, so why should they believe about sin? Why should they believe about salvation? Why should they believe about all these important things in the Bible since they already have been convinced that much of it is not true? A really serious matter. What have they done? They've chosen to embrace their own thoughts to be true over God's holy word. What does God want everyone to do? God isn't saying, I'm done with you forever. God is saying, I love you, and I'm calling you to repent. I'm calling you to set aside these false beliefs in the world, and I'm calling you to come back to the truth of my word. This is the way of salvation. What I'm going to do today, I'm going to read kind of an abbreviated version of what we have with the primary creation account in the Bible. That would be Genesis chapter 1. Let's understand, though, that creation is woven through the entire Bible. Some people want to say, oh, I don't believe the beginning, but I believe the rest. Well, no, that's impossible, because the creation account is woven through the entire scriptures. Let's get right into it here. Coming to day number one, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. Just to get into the details there a little bit, we're hearing the word God, and we're going to hear it 32 times in what I'm going to be reading today. That is the Hebrew word Elohim. That is a plural word. So even though we're showing God in the singular, it is a plural, and we should be thinking Trinity when we hear that word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were working together in order to create all things. I also wanted to mention here that with this phrase of evening, morning, day, that is a very important phrase. So when we have that structure, God wants us to understand so clearly that when he states that for each of the 6 days, he's telling us so clearly that he was creating in what we understand today to be a normal day. He did not create over billions of years, which many Christians are embracing, but he created in 6 ordinary days. When you read the Bible, it is so clear that that's what it is saying. Why are we so different from that today? Hey, come to Bible class. I want to share that with you. I'm going to give you the history of what has happened over the last 300 years and why 300 years ago, almost all Christians were together in believing the Bible, and now almost all Christians have gone away from the Bible. What happened over those 300 years? I hope you come and find out. What about day number two? Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse, and God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Let's understand that when we come to the word for heaven, we can also translate sky. Even in the Greek, the same word can be translated either heaven or sky, depending on the context. Day number three. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. And it was so. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Can you see over and over again how God said what he was going to do, and then he said it, and then it happened? The word of God is so very powerful, so very important, and yet so many have set it aside to embrace all these false ideas. What about day number four? Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and they shall serve as signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. And they shall serve as lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, that would be the sun, the lesser light to govern the night, that would be the moon. He made the stars also, and there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. So much could be said here, but let me just point out one thing. Did you notice the 5 words, and he made the stars also. Now understand, the planet Earth is located in the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy is kind of an average-sized galaxy. How many stars are in the Milky Way galaxy? There are about 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Now that's pretty tremendous right there, but think about this though. How many galaxies are there? Remember, we're in an average size galaxy. How many galaxies are there? People who are doing the counting of the galaxies, they say there are at least 200 billion galaxies, and some believe there are as many as 2 trillion galaxies. Why is that? Now understand, we're getting into a time within our nation and the world where they're talking about this idea that, oh, there is no God, we were created by aliens. Let's forget all that foolishness. Why is it, though, that God created all these galaxies? Why did he do it? It tells us in the Bible, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That is the reason why. Think about it. Planet Earth is not even a speck in the Milky Way galaxy, and yet God did all of that for you and me so we can go outside in a very dark place and look up at the sky and marvel at the greatness of our awesome God. That is the reason why. Let's know all of that is true. What about day number 5? Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea creatures and every winged bird according to its kind. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. And there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. I want to point out here on the topic of the word kind. So the word appears 10 times here in Genesis chapter 1, and there are 7 different categories of kinds. So the number 10, that's the number for completeness. The number 7, that's the number for perfection. So it's beautiful the way God has laid this out with the 10 and with the 7. What are the 7 different kinds? We have vegetation, fruit trees, sea creatures, winged birds, livestock, creeping things, and beasts of the earth. Let's understand, with all those different kinds, they are in their own category. They're in their own kind. Now, within that kind, is there some adaptation to the environment? By all means. But God wants us to know very clearly, there is no passing from being created in this kind and now somehow moving over to become this kind. The Bible is so clear on that topic. What about humans? Well, we are not a kind. We are the most special part of God's creation. He created us in his very own image. God wants us to know how special we are in his sight. Coming now to day number 6. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock and crawling things, and animals of the earth according to their kind. And it was so. God made the animals of the earth according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kind, and everything that crawls on the earth according to its kind. See all the emphasis there on the word kind. And then we come to the people. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. What is this, let us in our image, our likeness? We believe that's a conversation within the Holy Trinity. It's an awesome thing that God has given us a glimpse into. And then think about it here. It's very clear God made them male and female. So the males, they have XY chromosomes. The females have XX chromosomes. That's at the cellular level. So no matter what people might do to themselves physically, there's no way for a person to change himself at the cellular level. God wants everyone to accept that God has made them either male or female. When I say that, have you seen in the news how many people today, because of all the evil things that were going on in past years, how many young people today wanted to have their bodies mutilated? Their bodies were mutilated. Now they've changed their mind, and yet there's no way to change their body back to what it was. It's a mess. And how many so-called smart people told them it was a good idea, and how many churches told them it was a good idea? We live in a very evil world. How did that happen? It's all about getting away from the truth of God's word. Let us be so confident that all of this is correct. All of this is best. And then we see the instructions that God gave to them. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, have children. He told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, exercise control over the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. So God gave them fruits and vegetables. They were vegetarians. And how long did that continue? It continued all the way through until Noah and his family got off the ark about 1,700 years later. That's when God finally said, now you can eat everything. Is it okay for us today to eat everything? By all means. Is it okay if we choose not to? That's okay too. Were there people eating meat between creation and the time of the flood? Certainly there were. Are all of us perfectly following the Bible? We're not, but I just want you to understand that was what was going on at that time, according to God's holy word. And then it says here, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So God assessed it, very good. In other words, there was no sin, and there was no death. So day number seven, God rested on that day, and God also set a pattern here. By the seventh day, God completed his work, and he rested on the seventh day. So think about the pattern. We jump ahead here to Exodus chapter 20. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. That is one of hundreds of examples as to where creation is mentioned later on in the Bible. Can you see the clarity in that passage? And can you see how it perfectly reconciles with Genesis chapter 1? On the topic of the third commandment, now this is an explanation that's given in connection with the third commandment. I did put together this paper, and it will give you more information on the third commandment. There are some copies available in the back if you want to pick one up. What I want to do now in closing is I want to talk about some of these creation belief options. So this is where we find ourselves today in the Christian church. So we have three different camps that people are in. We have young earth creationists, we have old earth creationists, and then we have evolutionary creationists. I hope you can see how the overwhelming numbers of those who are in Christian churches are holding on to things that are not in agreement with the Bible. So what do those categories mean? Let's get into it a little bit. Young earth creationists, that would be what we're teaching here at Bethlehem. What are our common beliefs? God created in six ordinary days about 6,000 years ago. Adam and Eve were real. Death entered through Adam's sin. Noah's flood was worldwide. Genesis is to be taken in a factual manner. When you just read the Bible in a simple way, there is no thought at all about anything else other than embracing those things. Who is holding to that today? Well, it's believed by confessional Lutherans. That would include our church body, the Wisconsin Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, some conservative Baptists, some who are Reformed. But I want you to know, though, that like the total numbers in these church bodies is so very small in comparison to what, if you look up online, there are over 2 billion Christians, and the ones who actually hold to the Bible are such a small sliver of the overall numbers. Going on to old earth creation, what are the common beliefs here? God created billions of years ago. Think about the second one here. Animals lived and died for millions of years before Adam. So here is God assessing what he has created, and God is saying it's very good, and yet these people are saying that there have been animals that have been living and dying for billions of years, and yet God is still saying it's very good. It's so contradictory. They also believe that, it's good. They believe that death entered through Adam's sin, but when it comes to Noah's flood, though, like almost all Christians today, they believe it's a localized flood, not a worldwide flood. What does the Bible say? It's so clear. It says that the water on the earth was deeper than the highest mountain. If you go up on Mount Everest today and you do a little bit of digging, what are you going to find up there? You're going to find fragments of ocean life. Oh, how did that happen? Well, everyone wants to deny that there was a worldwide flood, and yet there is evidence all over the world to prove there was a worldwide flood. The Bible is proven true over and over again. Let's not go away from it. Who's in this category? It's believed by, notice here, conservative Catholics, Orthodox, and Evangelicals. So these are the conservative ones who are believing in this idea of God creating billions of years ago. It is a very serious matter. Again, keep in mind, I'm not talking about any particular person. I'm talking about what church bodies are holding to and teaching today. Now, what about the last category here? Evolutionary creation. They believe that God used evolutionary processes to create over billions of years. Adam and Eve, they believe they're only symbolical. Noah's flood, again, they would say it's local. Who's in this category? Many Catholics, Anglicans, and mainline Protestants. I mean, almost every denomination you can think of, they're in that category. On the topic of billions of years, I was going to put a sheet out in the narthex, and I decided I would teach it in Bible class instead because it's so important. Now, I'm hoping that you'll come to Bible class today, but if you simply can't do that, I would invite you to at least go down the hall, take a copy of the sheet on top of the Bible shelf. You can take it home and read it. We're going to go through that in Bible class today, but those are the two options. But if you would only understand where we were, where we are today, and how we got there, I think you would find that to be so instructive. That's what we're going to do down the hall. Let me conclude like this. Let us believe the creation account. Hey, it's in the Word of God. Let us trust in Jesus alone for heaven. Let's understand he did a finished work. There's nothing we can add to that. And then let us respond to God's greatness, to God's love, by honoring Jesus as Lord, by turning from our sins, putting him first, and doing what the Bible says. These are normal and natural ways for every Christian to be functioning, and yet we see it so little in today's world. May God help us to be the ones that are in that small category, that remain in that small category, and may God somehow use us not to put others down in any manner, but may God use us to share the truth of God with them so that they might come to embrace the Word of God again, understanding creation, rejoicing in Christ alone as Savior, and all these other important things. Let us pray. Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creation is awesome. Your creation is beautiful. Even though we have ruined it in many ways, we thank you so much for saving us through the finished work of Jesus. And we also thank you so much that we know, according to your timing, we know you are going to restore your creation. You're going to make it perfect again. We thank you so much in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.